Not only that, we've got a meteorologist up here trying to talk about some of the oceanography, which may not work out so great, but since Daniel couldn't be here today, I'm going to take a shot at giving his talk. I just wanted to acknowledge one thing. Daniel was super generous in working with NASA to transfer ownership to NRL of these 45 or so AXCDs, AXCDs, I think it was six AXCDs and umpteen AXCDs from a project he ran with NASA. He was in the midst of changing his job to another agency, which is why he couldn't be here now. But he bequeathed his not only his probes, but his equipment from the TSK receiver processing to NRL, and that's how we're able to obtain these observations that, how does this work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so these AXCDs were deployed from the WC-130 for the first time ever. Not only that, it's the first time anybody tried deploying AXCDs from 30,000 feet. And Nick Shea's done a lot of this work in the Gulf, but he swore that they wouldn't work if you went any higher than 5,000 feet. So anyway, with the 130, that's now possible at any altitude, just like with the AXPDs. And the same thing with the AXCDs and AXPDs. That's what they look like. As Daniel points out here, they originally had a problem with the CIPICAN receiver and AXCD probes back when he was doing this work, so we bought all this stuff to TSK. Turns out CIPICAN now buys their probes to TSK also. The system, we took his equipment and put it in a portable box that we could carry around off the airplane. That's kind of how we made these particular observations. We did AXCTD drops in two stones, Malachus, in the wake flight that Pat referred to, where we deployed just AXCTDs on either side of the track. And then also for MEGI, which I'll talk about in just a minute. I guess what's most surprising about this whole data set is, it wasn't just some of the probes. We had almost 100% success deployment, which I guess is a testament to the new manufacturer there in Japan, but also to the rather benign environment the C-130 provides when we launch it into the wake of the aircraft. This was the pattern that we deployed. It was the very last flight. I happened to make this flight myself. It was a lot of fun. It was a mix of AXPTs, indicated by the green dots, AXCTDs, the blue stars, and the AXCTs were the red diamonds. And there's a zigzag pattern back and forth across Edgy's wave. So that's kind of the statistics, and again, we were fortunate with a 94-95% success rate. What Dan tried to do was some preliminary effort at the analysis phase of this. This was the pattern superimposed on a very bad image that I blew up one of Coe's ocean heat content maps that was taken just after the storm, showing the cold eddy to the right of the track up to the northeast there, and the warm eddy to the left. And the storm kind of straddled the gradient as it moved west-southwest. No surprises here. In fact, I didn't have a chance to add that slide, but I think the cross-section that the Ravel took across the wake matched up very nicely with what Daniel was able to come up with in terms of the thermal response. Mixed layer depth is, again, reflects the inertia response that the several folks have talked about for the other storms. That's the 26-degree isotherm that was used to compute the ocean content. Also, Daniel took Jim Price's suggestion of computing off ocean content relative to 100 meters as well as relative to 26C. And patterns are pretty similar, the magnitudes and the ocean content a little bit different. Again, the variability probably due to the initial waking spots. So, in comparing two of the profiles, one in the wake to the right of the storm, one has several times the radius of maximum wind, about 4 or 5 times the radius of maximum wind, show distinctly different profiles, where there's very deep mixed layers just to the right of the track, as you might expect from strong mixing, and more ambient flight conditions from a cold eddy further to the north. The salinity observations was the really unique thing about this, and from what I can tell from some of the discussions about the salinity to me, the CTDs in from the valleys, observations were quite similar, showing an enhancement of salinities to the right of the track, and that's kind of what this shows. The color code there is not the greatest, but you can see to the right of the track, and the blue that's left to right, along the latitude there, there's a peak in the salinity, about twice the radius of maximum wind. And this is further behind the storm. Again, you see the inertial response, and these were the salinity changes, as you can see increase in salinity just to the right of the storm track here. So, sorry if I'm kind of brief with all this, but the main point is we had these instruments. ONR got a freebie out of it, and got a lot of terrific work from Daniel, who did this pretty much on his own, just to show that it could be done, and I think it worked out quite successfully. These data will be put on the EOL website shortly as well.
Plenty of time for questions, if you have one or two.
So as Daniel says here, he's got first cut of the data available for anybody that wants to work with it now, but he's still got a little bit of QC work left to do.
Well, go ahead. Have you chatted with Nick to see whether he's changed his mind any now?
Well, I showed him the data from the aircraft flight. It's at 30,000 feet with 300 millibars, so I let him chew on that for a while. He's 95% success rate from the probes. I told him you better off switching over to the C-130 and forget about the P-3. That didn't go over very well.
Thanks, Pete.